Well, there's the other, what other amendments are there in there?
Vacation bonus pay. It'll be difficult to hear technically these amendments this coming week if they're not really before the committee.
I don't understand what that means.
Well, the bill goes out of committee, we lose possession of the bill, but that doesn't mean that the committee can't work on other items, even if it's in an amendment form.
Well, we could still get them printed in the, we could still go ahead and have them printed, though, the amendments. And we'd still have the amendments before us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd opt.
Scheduled.
Mr. Chairman, I'd opt for a complete bill. Let's have a bill that.
Okay.
I, without.
Bear in mind that this, we haven't made decisions on these things either technically or philosophically, so, but we're striving to get that engrossed version.
That'd be my preference, certainly.
Okay, so if that's the choice of the committee, which I think's a good idea, why don't we just go ahead with that then? And what we can do, Mike, is just go ahead and move the amendments as they come. So.
You'll take the final use as well and put that in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, so Representative Cairns moves the, if I may, the amendments.
For purposes of engrossing the amendments and having a complete, a.
Maybe we could all go ahead and make that statement now so we don't have to do it after every amendment.
Well, I was considering saying it each time I voted.
Okay, well, why don't you just make one, Shirley, and that'll help us move along. We might.
Since I'm not quite sure what.
Representative Cairns moves the proposed amendments dated 4/10/81, print 31 and print 44, dealing with file and use, and what else, Mike?
Vacation bonus.
Vacation bonus pay.
Worker classification.
Worker classification.
Three.
Okay.
Is this the one that should have the union dues?
Union dues?
Aye.
What? Okay. Is there any objection to that amendment? Okay. Second. Mike?
Second of set of amendments to be considered is.
Is this the right, I'm sorry, is this the right place where we should, if we had a concern about requiring that union dues not be applicable while they're injured, that this is the place where it ought to go?
Not at this time.
Okay. Go ahead. I
think it's under the reinstatement.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry to do this to you, but on that last vote, I did not make that statement that I originally intended to make, which was that I was not voting on concept, but merely for engrossing. And so let's consider that I said that now.
Okay, right. And that covers every vote you take today, Representative.
That is correct.
Okay, that's on the
table. Thank you.
Second, these are the medical.
And these are House Bill 2600-2 for 1481. There are some additional amendments to. Now, the committee has adopted these
right. amendments. And this group?
Yes.
Yeah.
But Legislative Council has made some purely form and style changes in them. There is another amendment to these. No, there's two. And one is offered by Kaiser Permanente. Is Carol here?
Is it in here?
No, I have a. It's not in here.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I have a sheet that. And if Carol would like.
So that's the only thing. The only thing different in what we've done already on this is form and style. Is
yeah.
that?
And it's really not necessary to adopt them.
No.
Right. We've already
yeah.
adopted.
Yes.
Them, so.
They were adopted. Yes.
But then there is this additional. Is this right?
That's correct.
Submitted by Kaiser.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, just had some stuff. Well, it wasn't bad. I just had some problems. Like, I couldn't get things to move.
And this goes with.
Okay, do you want to explain the amendment?
3, is that what it goes with?
What it does, it amends the existing amendments dated 4/14 and on the medical provisions of the bill. On the last page, page 6 of the amendments now, on line 7, after ORS 656.289, and 4, insert, this notice shall include settlement amounts. And the note from Kaiser says, our purpose in requesting this change is to be able to document information related to settlements during the next 2 years. Mike, you want to expand on that?
Yes, the committee earlier adopted within the LC amendments to require sending a notice of settlement to the medical service providers. The amendment by Kaiser would require that notice just not state that a settlement has been reached, but that their dollar amounts of the settlements be included in that. And I, Ms. Bartlett, is that an accurate reflection of your?
Yes, it is, Mike.
Okay. Is there anybody else out there that has any disagreement with that provision?
Move the amendment, then. I would move the amendment.
Okay, Representative Johnson moves the amendments. Let's find.
Colonel, we have a concern.
Okay, is there any discussion on the proposed amendment? Okay, is there any objection to the amendment? Okay. Third set. It's 2603, dated 4/14/81, print 39, print 44.
I move, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Representative Cairns moves the amendments. What do they do?
This is
the reinstatement.
Dash 3 is the reinstatement. Reinstatement amendments.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, the committee has adopted the concept, but not these amendments.
Right.
Mr. Chairman,
Jim Parkinson.
Page 2, where we define available work, I notice I don't think we define suitable. Did we decide that we couldn't? Or why don't I'm just curious as to why one is being defined but not the other. Like on page 1 on line 17, it says which is available and suitable.
Right.
Page 2 on line. Where I lost it again. Line 14, we define available, but we don't define suitable.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Cairns?
Yes. On page 1 of those amendments, section 2, sub 1, and sub 2. In sub 1, we say a certificate for the worker's attending physician that the worker is able to return to the worker's regular employment. This prima facie evidence the worker is able to perform such duties. So, in that respect, it's suitable if the doctor says he can do his old job. In sub 2, you say, if he can't, he's disabled from performing those duties, he shall be employed by the worker's employer in employment which is available and suitable. Representative Parkinson is right in that we define available, but don't really go to the issue of suitable.
Okay, suitable to whom? Suitable to the conditions of the worker.
Mr. Chairman, maybe it would be wise to adopt them as we have them, and everyone's been alerted. If there's any problems, they could bring it back after some drills to get this on the
way. We'll be hitting all these areas certainly again, every one of them. So,
Mr. Chair,
got a motion there to go.
In the subcommittee, when we worked on this, I think most of the assumption was suitable was again going to relate back to the doctor's certificate of what the worker could do, and that's what means the job is suitable or not, is if the worker can do it. But I think Representative Parkinson has a good point. It certainly would be worthwhile to have that said. So,
excuse me, Captain Gold.
I thought we're voting on engrossing today. Sorry to be obnoxious.
We are.
Okay.
But we've got to adopt the amendments first.
I know. Let's.
Okay, now, I needed to ask a question about this. This is the first time, you know, we've had these. We adopted them in concept from the subcommittee report that we submitted, but I hadn't gotten over here to how we handled our, not to bring up sort of a hard subject, but how we handled switching over to the Department of Workers' Comp from the Department of Labor. We want to point that out for me in new amendments.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Kearns.
On page 2, sub 6, we said the you've got the mediation and informal disposition.
That's
cases.
The word I'm looking for.
Okay. The worker may also request a hearing, an administrative and judicial review on this issue in the same manner as in a matter concerning claim for compensable injury. I don't know that we decided that issue, did we?
Yeah.
I know I think we decided it in the negative as far as civil remedy,
right.
Didn't we, Mike?
Let's see, I was tracking on Representative Ryle's question, I think but I missed yours, I'm sorry. On the
121, 659, 121. Well, I'm not sure what 659, 121 is, but
it's civil action.
Taken
away by these amendments.
It is?
Yes.
I read on lines 11 and 12 of page 2 that a person who has a worker may also request a hearing and administrative and judicial review on this issue in the same manner as a matter concerning claim for compensable injury.
That I think refers to appeals court.
Repeals the appeals court.
Okay, that's the clarification I needed.
To the appeals court.
Have we written it to do what we agreed to do, which was make it administrative and make it access to the Court of Appeals?
It's the same as any compensable injury would be appealed
through
the hearings officer, the board, up to the appeals court.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Representative Riles. If you look on page 1 of the amendments, where it says on page 1 of the printed bill, line 8 after 656, 730, insert 659, 415, 420. If you look on page 1 of the printed bill, what that is doing is it's telling you that we're repealing 659, 415, and 420.
Okay.
And then section 2 creates a new section in 656. So that's how it is technically, mechanically moved.
We're all right. All right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Is there any further discussion?
Yes. We didn't know in the subcommittee that's how we would do it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay.
I would move adoption of the amendments.
Representative Riles moves the adoption of the amendments relating to reinstatement rights. House Bill 2603 for 1481, print 3944. Are there any objections? Okay, the next.
Mr. Chair, is Legislative Council. Oops. We're on number 4.
Right.
And we have the committee has adopted these amendments. This is the job search vocational rehabilitation sections of the bill. There is an amendment offered by Safe Corporation and Evelyn Ferris. And did Jim Randall leave? Yes.
Jim Randall left? Okay, would this have anything to do with reinsurance?
No.
No, okay.
This is a... I should pass out the amendments first.
That'd be a good idea.
This one labeled.
Safe Corporation suggests changes. LCMN number 4.
Okay.
No, it's not.
No, I don't think so. I think we're down to section 72 for that.
Mr. Chair, the purpose of the amendments is to further clarify further the notice requirements and contact requirements by the insurer with the injured worker. And so it further breaks down the 5-day rule that is currently in the amendments to say that it's in the work, insurer, self-insured employer shall contact the worker within 5 days after receipt of a medical report which indicates a worker may be unable to return to work for a period of 21 days or longer, or when the worker has been off work for more than 21 consecutive days since the date of injury. So the sub A and the sub B are the changes or further clarification of the current amendment. And the both SAFE and the private insurers have agreed on this language.
Mr. Chairman.
So,
parents?
So this is, in essence, a substitution for the Section 3 we find on this amendment sheet here, dated called House Bill 2600-4. Is that correct?
That's correct, Representative Cairns.
So we've already adopted the dash 4 amendments, and they're asking these as a substitution. Is that right?
Yes.
Substitution.
Well,
it's not. It's a. Well, it's an amendment and an addition, but it's not a substitution. Is it?
It's a little of both, Mr. Chair.
Seems to me it's a direct substitution for the first three subsections of Section 3.
No. That is not the intent of the amendment, Representative Cairns.
It is. To be cumulative?
The changes, legislative council, if you see some changes of wording in sub 2 or sub 3, there are changes because of form and style by legislative council. And when the, and SAFE and Ms. Ferris did their amendments, they were operating off of the language that was adopted by the committee earlier. Their intent is to only deal with
sub 1.
Subsection 1. Yes.
Yeah. Best thing to take the amendment and fold it in half and forget about sub 2 and 3 because that's the language that's in the amendment. It's already been adopted. The only change then is that the, actually, let's see, if insert after 5 days, insert the word, oh, wait a minute, that's already there.
They're breaking it into an A and B.
Well, Mr. Chair, yeah. In addition to the A and B part, it seems to lift out the language requiring that the insurance self-insured employer maintain records of contacts and assistance as may be prescribed by rule, and that causes me some additional concern. I have some problems with A and B. Just from everything I've heard, the problem is that there's too long a delay, and this seems to open the door to even further delay.
Well, we could
you stack
that
or
in.
Tack 5 days onto 21 days.
There's nothing about keeping records.
Why couldn't the record keeping be C, do A and B, and then on line 11 where it says each insurer and self-insured shall maintain records of such contacts. I see it's a by rule. That could then become C under how this is written.
What is their reason for submitting this?
Well, it spells out more clearly when you're supposed to contact.
Well, neither party that submitted this amendment is here. I'm not.
Mr. Chair, their intent is you have the language on line 8 of the amendments that says where the insurer or self-insured employer has knowledge of the injury, and it's trying to specify
when that is.
Yes. And that's the purpose of their amendment in terms of A and B. And they have they're offering two indicators for that knowledge of the injury.
And then C could just be added on. C needs to be in there. Then C just would become, it would go A, this is when notice is, and then C is then requiring him to keep records.
Mr. Chair.
You're right, it's not.
Representative Parks.
Again, just nuts and bolts, how long a period of time could this be before the insured would contact the worker? Receipt of a medical report is, could be how many days after an accident?
Who knows?
13 or 14 days on the average.
Okay, yeah, you're pointing.
Is the or and then B, is that, would that serve to assist the situation? Or not? That kind of sets a limit, doesn't it? Of not more than 21 consecutive days.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, I think you'd have to put in another term here, whichever is less or something like that. Representative Kearns?
I like the way the amendments are printed. I mean, it simply says you're responsible for contacting the worker within 5 days after the insurer, self-insured employer's knowledge of the injury. Period.
Yeah.
Because it's usually 14 days to before you even get the medical report. As a matter of fact, it's worse than that, isn't it?
5 days after the insured.
You've got
13 days.
Yeah, okay, 13 days. Do you go 13 days or do you go 21 days? Why not just say 5 days after the injury, you got to contact?
Let me ask, is there a motion on these proposed amendments?
No.
Is there a motion? Okay, let's lay it aside. They want to pursue this farther when we get it back.
What knowledge of the injury?
Sure.
All right, so the amendments, House Bill 2600-4, have actually been adopted, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay, House Bill 2600-5. Dated 4-16-81, print 41, print 44.
Mr. Chair, these amendments are the deletion of the second injury provision, fund provisions in House Bill 2600 and inserting the second injury or handicap workers fund as found in Senate Bill 104. I believe that there is another amendment offered to the these amendments, which the committee has adopted. Let's see, Carl, can you help me on this? My recollection the other night, if the committee adopted the concept.
So they, Carl Frederick, Associate Oregon Industries, you recall subsequent to the presentation on the substitution of the 104 Handicapped Workers Insurance Fund, and your suggestion that perhaps the threshold should be 13 weeks rather than the $1,000 deductible, I said I think you ought to give that some more serious thought, because we have some cost figures. Your actuary has looked at the effect of the $1,000 deductible. I think you're putting a little harsher threshold by going to 13 weeks, not taking into consideration medical and this type of thing. So you may want to give us a second thought to perhaps going to the $1,000 deductible.
Okay, Carl, do you want to hang up just for a minute?
Sure.
Dick, do you want to comment?
What I'm saying, it's not compatible with the Handicapped Workers Insurance Fund analysis we have.
Well, I'm not sure if I can add any more to what was said the other night. obviously, $1,000 is very low threshold, and just about any case that involves more than medical only would be eligible for it. And in that instance, any employer who can attribute some of that disability to a pre-existing condition will be able to qualify under that threshold. And I could just it's going to be, I think, an administrative problem, because any claim over $1,000 is going to be applying to the second injury fund.
Again, only if there was a prior handicap. And the $1,000 deductible figure was suggested to us by the director. We have had it costed, and we are concerned about overutilization. Our initial figure was $5,000 deductible. Remember, we were speaking of a very broad-based type of subsequent injury or second injury fund, hence the $1,000 and the broad definition of what is handicapped. And we have had it costed. We've got to rely. We know exactly what it's going to cost the first biennium. We are thinking in terms of asking for general funding in the next biennium. And as I say, I don't know what you're going to do with a 13-week. I haven't seen it costed.
Carl, what you're saying, the second injury fund, this is partly paid by the worker?
You recall that this will be paid half by an increase in the assessment of the employer. I think it was 7,500 to 1%. And an additional 2 cents a day, I believe, by the employee.
So what you're saying, if you go beyond the $1,000 deductible, but that we could be putting this fund that's partially funded by the worker in jeopardy because we're not sure of the cost figure? Is that your
No, I don't know what the cost figures are for the 13, but I say you're not fulfilling the function of what we thought was a very, very broad-based, as Mr. Goss has indicated, a very broad-based second injury or subsequent injury fund. And to the object of our study, our conclusions were that we wanted to encourage the hiring of the handicapped and give some protection to the employer in those situations. And that's the philosophy of it. And I think you depart from that somewhat by going to a higher threshold, quite frankly, with a 13-week.
Can I cite to you what I think practically will happen under a $1,000 deductible? As a practical matter, every single claim that comes into a carrier will be scrutinized to see if there's any way of getting that second injury relief, because the threshold is so low that the claims managers will tell their employees, look at every single claim and make a claim to the second injury fund under it. Any language in a medical report that refers to any kind of pre-existing condition, and if you see medical reports on backs, that language pops up quite often, that there was some congenital, not necessarily congenital, but something shows up on an x-ray, that's going to be sufficient. I see that as the practical problem.
Okay. The 13-week, can we try and convert that to some kind of a monetary figure, Jake? Let's just take a hypothetical.
Well, the maximum benefit is it's 265 or so.
Right, so 265 times 13, and that's the floor.
About $3,000.
300 times 13.
Then you're not including medical in that, of course.
$3,000, and that's exclusive. Medical.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, that's 13 weeks. This is a lot different than 5,000 in reality, probably, isn't it?
Of course, as I said, you're excluding medical, which may be significant. Yeah.
Excluding medical.
That's right.
This is only relating to time loss?
You're only talking about time loss again, if I understand your proposal, in the original proposal on 2600, which was 26 weeks.
4 weeks.
That could be.
That's four. 4 weeks. 4 weeks.
It's true that the actuary has costed out the $1,000 and says that it isn't that that much more than the $5,000. I guess I have to disagree with some of the assumptions he made. I just can't conceive of it not being much different, because you're talking about numerous more claims under the $1,000 than you are at $5,000.
Mr. Chair, I mean, wouldn't you be including medical onlys on the $1,000 one?
Conceivable, sure.
So you're talking about every claim.
Well, the only thing I can suggest is that perhaps you may want to discuss this further with the director when he returns. You may want to talk to the actuary.
Yeah, well, we'll certainly we're going to be discussing all of this.
We were also concerned about overutilization, the very reasons that Mr. Goss gave, and the attendant costs. Of course, we reduced it from $5,000, and apparently it wasn't that significant. I've got the figures.
That's mind-boggling. Mr. Chair?
Yeah,
I guess maybe we better leave it the way it is, but then when we get to this section, when the amended and engrossed bill comes back, we really need to look at this carefully, because I'm a strong supporter of the second injury fund. I want to make sure that it's used, though, for those situations that will encourage employment and where the employer is really at risk. And it seems to me that that's much more than over $1,000. It should come in somewhere above $1,000 or 4 weeks. And in some cases, it would be less than 3 weeks of time loss. So, but I believe in there. I would like to get the committee's indulgence in proposing some other amendments to go into this section on the second injury fund. And I apologize to the committee that they are not set up and to you in the kind of form I would like to present. But we talked about it at the last, I don't know if it was the last meeting, but one of our meetings, about putting the ideas of the second injury fund in Senate Bill 633 into this amendment at this time. And I would like to suggest doing that. Would you accept a motion to do that? But it's not as 633 is. It would be with changes. Could we get the committee?